Okay, so good morning. My name is Lorenzo Martignoni, and this is a joint work with people from the University of Milan, the University of Wisconsin, and Georgia Tech. So this work is about automatically generating remediation procedures, or procedures that can be used to repair a system after it has been infected by a malware. So unfortunately, there are several situations in which remediation is the only option, because it's not always possible to block a malware and prevent the infection. Remediation is not the only option, but it's the cheapest one. So in theory, what the user should do after an infection is to erase the system and restart it from scratch. However, users typically prefer to rely on the remediation capabilities of the anti-malware software, because it's cheaper and faster, and typically it does not result in any loss of data. So unfortunately, repairing a system damaged by a malware is not that easy. And I'm going to show you what are the challenges connected with this through an example. So imagine that we have a very simple malware like the one shown here in the slides, that when this malware is executed, it essentially replicates itself into a new executable, and the name of this executable is partially selected randomly. So there are three random characters in the file name. The malware also creates a registry key to start this new executable at boot. And again, here, the part of the registry key of the name of the key is selected randomly. Then this malware tries to hide its presence on the system by infecting a system library, and then also tries to hijack some of the network traffic by messing up with the configuration of the resolver. So what we expect from an anti-malware software is that this software is able to revert all these malicious activities. So we expect the malware to be able to remove the malicious executable, to remove the registry key created to start the malware at boot, and to restore the original library, and to also restore the configuration of the resolver. And it's very easy to see that if any of these malicious activities are not properly reverted, the system can be left in an unsafe, or even worse, in an unusable state. So it's also very easy to see that fixing system damage by a malware is not very easy. So there are several problems. For example, the code of a malicious program is typically obfuscated and difficult to analyze. So it's not possible, it's difficult to understand what are all the possible behaviors of a malicious program, and then to detect what changes to the system that behaviors can produce. The other problem is that typically there is a certain degree of non-determinism in the behavior of the malware. So every time the malware is executed, the malware will exhibit a slightly different behavior, and this behavior will affect in a slightly different way the state of the system of the user. And finally, the remediation is performed after the system is infected. So when the remediation is performed, the remediation procedure has no insight about what was the previous state of the system. So going back to our example, the challenges here are to guess what are the possible files into which the malware can replicate, guess what are the possible keys that the malware can create, and guess what's the proper version of the system library that was infected by the malware that must be restored. And a similar problem arises also for the configuration of the resolver. So commercial antivirus software already support this functionality. So why do we care about automatically generating procedures? So, well, a couple of years ago, we performed a study, and the goal of the study was to test whether commercial antivirus software was good or not at cleaning up damaged system. And the result of our study was that these software are good, we can obtain much better results. So our goal, the goal of our work, is to develop a system that can automatically generate procedures that can repair a system damaged by a malware. And we want to operate in the following scenario. So we have a malware, we have a system infected by this malware, and we want to create a procedure that can be used to clean up the mess made by the malware. So essentially, we want our procedure to be able to revert all and only the modification caused by the system, by the malware, and we want this procedure to work independently from the initial state of the system. And also, we want this procedure to be usable also on other systems independently, again, from their initial states. So the approach we propose for repairing a damaged system is the following. So we start by analyzing the malware and constructing what we call the infection relation. The infection relation describes essentially what are the possible behaviors of the malware and how this behavior affects the state of the system. We construct this infection relation using dynamic analysis, and we try to overcome the incompleteness of dynamic analysis by approximating what we observe. Then from the infection relation, we construct the real remediation procedure. Essentially, what the remediation procedure does is to revert all the activities described by the infection relation. Then we run this procedure on the infected system, and the procedure will identify using some constraints what are the resources in the system that might be affected by the malware, and then it will try to revert all the action performed by the malware. So this is a picture of the system that we have developed in order to automatically generate procedure that satisfies this, the requirement I previously described. So the system is composed by three components, and the first two components are responsible for generating what we call the infection relation. And the third component instead is, given the infection relation, will generate automatically the remediation procedure. And now I'm going to describe you in details these three components. So the first one is responsible for monitoring the execution of a malware in multiple execution environments and for inferring what are the high-level behaviors that that occurs during this execution. So a malicious program can do many different things, but we are interested only in a very limited, in a small set of activities. In particular, we are interested only in the activities that have an effect on the local system of the user. So in particular, we are interested in activities that involve the creation, the infection, and deletion of files, registry keys, and processes. But we are also interested in higher level behaviors, such as what we call drop and auto start and drop and execute, that are achieved by combining lower level behaviors. So the first component takes the malware and runs this malware in multiple environments. These environments are different from each other, and the idea is that the more heterogeneous is the configuration of this environment, the higher is the chance to trigger slightly different program paths and to observe different behaviors. So when we run this malware in these environments, we also monitor the system calls that are executed by the malware. And then we analyze the system call trace obtained to infer the high-level behaviors that the malware manifested. So the output of the first component is what we call a set of high-level execution traces, where each trace describes what we observe in a particular environment. And these traces essentially are lists of high-level behaviors, where each high-level behavior is described using what we call a behavior summary and a behavior graph. The behavior summary focuses on describing what are the effects of each particular malicious activity on the state of the local system, while the behavior graph instead focuses on describing what are the system calls that the malware executed in order to accomplish a particular activity. And what you see here are examples of different behaviors and of different summaries and graphs that our system can produce. So these high-level execution traces are the input to the second component of our system. And so the second component is responsible for comparing what we observe dynamically. And so the first operation performed by the second component is to analyze the behavior observed in the various traces and to perform clustering. The idea is that we want to group together different instances of the same activity observed in different environments. So we perform clusterings on the behavior graphs because we observe experimentally that non-determinism in the program has a high impact on the summaries of the behavior, but a very minimal impact on the graphs that our system produces. So we compare this graph using isomorphism, but before performing the comparison, we apply several normalization rules to improve the quality of the clustering. So this is an a sample cluster that our system can produce by monitoring multiple execution of a malware like the sample one I shown you before. So this cluster essentially describes all the ways that some of the ways in which our sample malware can replicate and then configure the system to automatically start the new executable at boot. And you can see in red the differences between the various executions. So these are the three different characters or the file name of the file name that are generated randomly by the malware. So this is what we observe dynamically, and this is what the clustering algorithm produced. But so since this malware has a high degree of non-determinism, most likely if we execute the malware again in a new system, we are going to see a slightly different behavior. So how can so the problem here is how to predict what are all the file names that the malware can produce. And the approach we use is to take the summaries that belong to the same cluster and to transform these summaries into a single summary that we say it's generalized. So we can, given a behavior summary, we can treat the arguments as strings, and we can imagine these arguments as independent. So given strings, given sets of independent strings, we can perform generalization by constructing an automaton that accepts a superset of these strings. And the approach we use to construct this automaton that allows to generalize the argument is the following. So imagine that we want to generalize the first argument of this behavior, that the behavior described by this cluster. We proceed as follows. First, we construct the minimalistic automaton that accepts all the strings representing the argument of the malware. And then we analyze this automaton in order to identify what we call dense regions of the automaton. And the idea is that the density of a region of the automaton is strongly connected with the degree of non-determinism in the behavior of the malware. So the region highlighted here is the region that accepts all the substrings that are composed by the three random characters in the file name of the malware generated by the malware. And we have several heuristics to identify these regions. So then we process this region, we check if this, we collect some features about this region, such as the length of the path, the type of symbols contained in this region, and if the region is dense enough, then we translate the region with corresponding with an appropriate regular expression that contains some wildcards. So the idea here is that the regular expression we generate is able to accept all strings of alphabetic characters of composed by three alphabetic characters. So given we apply this process to all the dense region in the automaton, and then we construct a regular expression that describes all the names of the possible files that the malware can create. So if we apply this process to all the arguments of the behavior in the cluster, and then we obtain what we call the behavior summary, which is described here at the bottom of the slide. And if we apply this process to all the cluster produced by our system, then we obtain what we call the infection relation R. So the infection relation is the input to the third component of our system. And from the infection relation, we construct the remediation procedure. Essentially, the remediation procedure is contains the operations that are necessary to revert the various behaviors that are described in the infection relation. So for example, if a malware is creating a new resource on the system, then the remediation procedure will contain the necessary operations to delete this resource from the system. While for resources that are infected by the malware, the remediation procedure will contain the necessary operation to restore their state. So for example, for resources that are created by the malware, we use the arguments of the behavior as constraints to locate these resources on the system, and then we delete all the resources that match this constraint. For example, if the malware is creating a file, then we look on the system for all the files that match the name and that match the pattern describing the name and the pattern describing the data brought to the file. While for more complex behaviors such as drop and auto start, the procedure we generate will scan the system looking for files and keys that match this, but these two resources will be deleted from a system only if both are found and if there is a dependency between the name of the file and the content of the registry key. And this is very important to reduce the number of false matches. So we use a similar approach to identify, the resources that are infected by the malware, but in this case we cannot delete the resource, but we have to restore the resource to its original state. So the technique we use to detect what was the original state of the resource is to analyze what the malware does and to detect what are the regions of the file, for example, that are never touched by the malware. And then we use these regions to query a database that we have constructed to guess what's the proper version of the file that we want to restore on the system. And unfortunately, this approach works well, but unfortunately it cannot be used to, as you can imagine, to restore user data, because we don't know anything about the state of these files before the infection. And for a similar reason, we cannot at the moment recover resources that are deleted by the malware. But our claim is that the malware is not going to delete any system files, because otherwise the system will not work anymore after the infection. So the problem is limited only to user files and user registry keys. So we implemented a prototype of the system I just described, and the goal of the, so we implemented this prototype and we used this prototype to test our idea. And the goal of the evaluation was to quantify the false positive and false negative rates. So essentially we wanted to check whether our procedure were targeting only resources created by, affected by the malware, and if our procedure were able to revert all the malicious activity, And also the goal of another goal of the evaluation was to compare the completeness of our procedures against the completeness of the best commercial antivirus software on the market. So for the evaluation involving false positives, we got a very good result. So we only got one false positive, and this false positive was caused by a very generic regular expression that our system generated. And the expression generated looked like this. And as you can imagine, if you run a procedure like this, can delete all the file from, all executables file from the system. So it's not good. So to evaluate the false negatives, essentially we measure the percentage of activities that, of malicious activity performed by the malware that our procedures were able to revert. So the bars in red in this histogram represent the percentage of activities reverted by our system, while the bars in the other colors are three of the top rated antivirus software. We tested more software, but these are the best, the ones with the highest percentage of reverted activities. So the takeaway is that our procedures were able to revert more than 98% of the activities performed by the malware, while the best commercial antivirus was able to revert only 82%. So as you can imagine, our system is not perfect, and probably most of you are already aware what are the biggest limitations of our system. So the, one of the limitations is that we are constructing the infection relation using dynamic analysis. So if we don't see a behavior, then we cannot produce the corresponding operation to revert this behavior. And the other big limitation is that since we perform generalization to overcome the incompleteness of dynamic analysis, the attacker can try to introduce a very high degree of non-determinism in the behavior to force our system to generate regular expressions like the one I showed you before. So essentially, we will end up in producing remediation procedures that cannot be used because they are not safe. And another limitation is that we, at the moment, we can only restore some a subset of the resources that can be infected by the malware, and we cannot restore resources that are deleted by the malware. So in conclusion, what I presented you is a system for automatically constructing remediation procedures or procedures that can be used to restore a system, to repair a system infected by a malware. And I also showed you the how our system is, the performance of our system and how our system is works better than the commercial antivirus software that tries to achieve the same purpose. And that's all. So I will be happy to take any questions.
Katsunari Yoshioka from Yokohama National University. I want to ask about this malware sample used as an input. Actually, we are trying to do a very similar experiment, and the one problem we have is the sample that we use, that we collected by our honeypots, is not self-contained. Mm-hmm. So when we try to dynamically analyze it, it wouldn't actually work because okay. It's not self-contained, or it would get some part of the codes from somewhere in the network.
Okay, some website.
So in your experiment, you used 200 samples. How did you prepare those? Or how did you choose those samples?
So we got them from some people from Georgia Tech, I think, as far as I remember. And so the at the beginning, the set was bigger. So okay. We had to remove some malware were not working. Some of them were probably crashing after a while.
Okay.
So 200 were the
good ones.
Exactly.
Okay, I understand. Thank you.